Okay. So we have this nice background here, because I'm suffering the sinful reactions of all my disciples. So I'm just practicing. I'm with Yamaraj right now. So when you initiate disciples, you get actually karma. So these are the flames. Anyway, tomorrow we're able to tolerate the flames of Yamaloka and still be with you. They have good internet connection in Yamaloka, so it's actually good. Better than in the Earth planet. Okay, so on that happy note, I'm sure this will hypnotize you all as you're watching me. Let's start chanting Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Giribhara Dhauti. Gopi Jana Balaba Giribhara Dhauti. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giribhara Dhauti. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giribhara Dhauti. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parvatakacharya Olsu Teta Sitashi Shimad. His Divine Grace Vaya Chalananda Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Srivastati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikopata Sai Mukund Radhakunda Kiri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavanam Ki Jai. Mathuradam Ki Jai. Jagannathaswami Ki Jai. Yamunamai Ki Jai. Srimati Lasi Devi Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Gaur. Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namani. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gaurvani Pachani, Nivrishesha, Shunyavadi, Paschatate, Shatardi. I think I'll tell Yamaraj to turn the flames down a little bit, because it's giving everybody a headache. Okay. So, just a little bit cooler here. Om Gana Timirandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're reading the Nectar of Devotion. One reason I use these funny backdrops is because I have so many meetings, GVC meetings and everything like that. It just keeps it interesting because people in the meeting always ask me about the backdrop. And it makes the meetings not so boring when I have a different backdrop each meeting. So, I mean, it's just like, you know, you got to keep life interesting. Can't just like have meetings one after the other. Okay, so let's chant the prayers of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kandipano Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarano Tri Bhuvane Manyo Sharanya Karo Radha Krishna Padara Vinda Bhajana Nandena Mataliko Vande Rupa Sanatano Raghu Yago Shri Jiva Gopala Kohu. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, namely Shri Sanatan Goswami, Shri Rupa Goswami. Hold on a second. Shri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Shri Jiva Goswami, and Shri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. So we have 20 more pages left in the Nectar of Devotion. So we're almost finished. Pretty amazing. So let's continue. All right. So right now we're on the indirect rasas. Indirect means there's 7 indirect rasas and 5 direct rasas. The indirect rasas flavor the direct rasas. So that's this section of Nectar of Devotion. And the last section of Nectar of Devotion deals with the proper and improper mixing of the rasas, which is called rasa bas. Okay, so now we're going to deal with dread and ghastliness. Dread, of course, means fear. Okay, so in ecstatic love for Krishna and dread, there are two causes of fear, either Krishna himself or some dreadful situation for Krishna. When a devotee feels himself to be an offender at Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna himself becomes the object of dreadful ecstatic love. And when out of ecstatic love, friends and well-wishers of Krishna apprehend some danger for him, that situation becomes the object of their dread. Okay. When Rikshiraj was in front of Krishna fighting and suddenly realized that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna addressed him thus, "My dear Rikshiraj, why is your face so dry? Please do not feel threatened by me. There is no need for your heart to tremble like this. Please calm yourself down. I have no anger toward you. You may, however, become as angry as you like with me to expand your service in fighting with me and to increase my sporting attitude." In this dreadful situation, an ecstatic love for Krishna, Krishna himself is the object of dread. So, the story involves the Shaimantaka jewel. Of course, once upon a time, there was a Shaimantaka jewel that was given to Satyajit by the sun god. And this Shaimantaka jewel was so wonderful that whoever had it would produce many mounds of gold every day. So Satyajit refused to give it to Krishna. Wow. So he just kept it for himself because he was so greedy. So he gave it instead one day just to his brother to go riding with a horse in the woods. And so his brother went riding with a horse in the woods, and his brother got attacked by a lion. The lion killed his brother. And Satyajit accused Krishna of stealing the jewel. But it was Prasenna, who was Satyajit's brother, who actually took the jewel out for a ride, not to steal it. But because the jewel didn't come back, and neither did Prasenna come back, therefore Krishna was accused, and Krishna's reputation was in danger, so Krishna had to go and look for the jewel. He found that the lion had killed Prasenna, and then he went and followed the lion's tracks and went into this cave. And in the cave was Jambavan, or Rishiraj, which means the king of the bears. He's not a bear. He's the king of the bears. And he actually helped Lord Ram many, 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 many millions of years before. Anyway, so he, Krishna saw Rishiraj's daughter playing with the jewel. And the nurse and the daughter got scared. And Rishiraj, Jambavan, came out and he fought with Krishna. And it was for about 28 days. And he got defeated, and then he understood that the person he got defeated by was actually non-different than Lord Ram, who was Krishna, same personality. And he apologized and got very scared. And as a result, he gave the jewel back to Krishna. And also he gave Krishna his daughter, whose name was Jambavati. There's another instance of a dreadful situation with Krishna as the object as follows. After being sufficiently chastised by child Krishna on the Yamuna River, the Kaliya snake began to address the Lord. O killer of the mortal demon, I have acquired many mystic powers by my austerity and penances. But before you, I am nothing. I am most insignificant. Therefore, please be kind upon a poor soul like me, and don't be angry with me. I did not know your actual position. And out of ignorance, I have committed such horrible offenses. Please save me. I am most unfortunate, foolish creature. Please be merciful to me. This is another instance of the ecstasy of dread and devotional service. He was scared of Krishna. But also, both of these circumstances with Jambavan and the Kaliya serpent involve, in addition to dread, fear, chivalry, because they're fighting with Krishna. When the Keshi demon was causing disturbances in Vrindavan by assuming a large horse's body that was so big that he could jump over the trees, Mother Yashoda told her husband, Nanda Maharaj, our child is very restless, so we had better keep him locked up within the house. I have been very worried about the recent disturbances of the Keshi demon, who has been assuming the form of a giant horse. When it was learned that the demon was entering Gokula in an angry mood, Mother Yashoda became so anxious to protect her child that her face dried up and there were tears in her eyes. These are some of the signs of the ecstasy of dread in devotional service caused by seeing and hearing something that is dangerous to Krishna. In other words, two types of dread or fear in devotional service. One type is you're afraid of Krishna. And the other type is you're afraid for Krishna. After the Putana Wish had been killed, some friends of Mother Yashoda inquired from her about the incident. Mother Yashoda at once requested her friends, please stop, please stop. Don't bring up the incident of Putana. I become distressed just by remembering this incident. The Putana witch came to devour my son, and she deceived me into letting her take the child on her lap. After that, she died and made a tumultuous sound with a gigantic body. That's fearfulness for Krishna's safety. In the ecstasy of devotional service and dread, the unconstitutional symptoms are drying up of the mouth, fear, exuberance, passion, glancing behind oneself, fearful, concealing oneself, bewilderment, searching after the endangered lovable object, and crying very loudly. Some other unconstitutional symptoms are illusion, forgetfulness, and expectation of danger. In all such circumstances, the ecstatic dread is the steady or constant factor. Such dread is caused either by offenses committed or by dreadful circumstances. Offenses may be committed in varieties of way, and the dread is felt by the person who has committed the offense. When dread is caused by a fearful object, this fearful object is generally a person who is fearsome in his features, nature, and influence. An example of an object which caused ecstatic dread is the Putana witch. Dread may be caused by mischievous demoniac characters such as King Kongsa, and it may be caused by great powerful demigods such as Indra or Shankara. Demons like Kongsa feared Krishna, but their feelings cannot be described as ecstatic dread and devotional service. They were scared of God, but they weren't devotees. So, actually, one thing that I was thinking about as we were reading this is that sometimes those who are Christians try to get people to join their particular society by fear. They say, you're going to go to hell unless you surrender. I don't know if that's ecstatic devotional service. That's threats. So, ghastliness. Oh my God. You can hear what ghastliness is. Pretty disgusting sometimes. It is understood from authoritative sources that an attachment for Krishna because of feelings of disgust, I said disgusting, sometimes present a ghastly ecstasy in devotional service. The person experiencing such ecstatic love for Krishna is almost always in the neutral stage of devotional service or shantaras. A description of ecstatic love caused by ghastliness is found in the following statement. This person was formerly interested solely in the matter of lust and sense gratification, and he had perfected the greatest skill in exploiting women to fulfill his lusty desires. But now, how wonderful it is that the same man is chanting the names of Krishna with tears in his eyes, and as soon as he sees the face of a woman, let me unpack this, it's not that he doesn't like women, but he thinks of exploiting a woman, he becomes disgusted. Not that he thinks of women, he becomes disgusted. From the indication of his face, I would now think that he hates sex life. Actually, one who is Krishna conscious doesn't hate or like sex life. He's neutral. He's nirapeksha. Nirapeksha means someone's neutral. Whatever can be accepted for Krishna is accepted, and whatever is not accepted is not accepted. But he sees everything, apandita samadarshana, in this world in a neutral way. He says, can it please Krishna? Okay. We accept it. If it doesn't please Krishna, we won't accept it. So, for those in the grahastha ashram, then engaging in sex for procreation is actually Krishna conscious, as Krishna says in the Gita. In this mellow of devotional service and ghastliness, the sub-ecstatic symptoms are spitting upon the consideration of one's past life, contorting the face, covering the nose, and washing the hands. That reminds me of Lady Macbeth. She's that. She actually was obsessive-compulsive about washing the hands. Anyway, there's also trembling of the body, forcible twisting of the body, and perspiration. Other symptoms which may be present are shame, exhausted madness, illusion, frustration, humility, self-pity, restlessness, eagerness, and stunning of the body. In other words, if one thinks about their past activities, that were not Krishna conscious, in his lifetime, then that's actually part of that. But one who's in a higher stage of devotional service doesn't think about his past activities, but generally it's a symptom of shantaras. When a devotee lamenting for his past abominable activities shows special symptoms on his body, his feeling is called ecstasy in devotional service and ghastliness. Yuck! This is caused by the awakening of his Krishna consciousness. In this connection, there's the following statement. How can a person take pleasure in the enjoyment of sex life in this body, which is a bag of skin and bones, filled with blood and covered by skin and flesh, and which produces mucus and evil spells? Not spells, smells. This perception is possible only for one who has awakened to Krishna consciousness and has become fully cognizant of the abominable nature of this material body. That's pretty gross. That's what gasoline means. It's just gross. A fortunate child, the womb of his mother, prayed to Krishna as follows. O enemy of Kamsa, I am suffering so much because of this material body. Now I am trapped within a mess of blood, urine, and liquid stool. This is pretty gross stuff. Within the womb of my mother, because I am living in such a condition, I am suffering great pangs. Therefore, O divine ocean of mercy, please be kind to me. I have no ability to engage in your loving devotional service, but please save me. So this is actually very similar to what Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about, how that the child in the womb is suffering in so many ways. Hopefully the child gets to be there for the full term and not be aborted by some guy coming in with a knife and a vacuum cleaner. They actually do that. So anyway, he's suffering, and he's praying, and he's a little pious, he's praying to Krishna, Krishna, if I get out of this situation, I will become your devotee and worship you. And so eventually he or she pops out. But when he pops out, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or shortly thereafter, the living entity is thinking, wow, this is the life. Why is he thinking this is the life? Because when he pops out, he becomes the center of his parents' or her parents' attention. Oh, isn't that baby cute? It'd be wonderful. He has your eyes, he has your cheeks, or she has your eyes or cheeks, your hair, your nose. Oh, you were so adorable. Yuck. So in other words, the living entity falls into Maya, being the center of attention as a baby. And then the living entity forgets his promise to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's also why Shukadeva Goswami, this great mystic devotee, refused to take birth. Why did he refuse to take birth? Because he knew as soon as he came out, there'd be all this love, which would bewilder him. So instead, he eventually came out after he heard the Bhagavatam and had a reason for coming out, but he used his mystic powers to create a clone of himself. And that clone went back with his parents. So there's actually advantages to creating clones. Then you won't get any more pressure from your parents. You could send the clone to medical school or something like that. So anyway, so and then Shukadeva Goswami went and he preached the Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit on the bank of the Ganges. There's a similar statement by a person fallen into a hellish condition of life. He addressed the Supreme Lord thus. My dear Lord, Yamaraj has placed me in a situation which is full of filthy and obnoxious smells. There are so many insects and worms surrounded by the stools left by different kinds of diseased persons. And after seeing this horrible scene, my eyes have become sore and I've become nearly blind. I therefore pray, O my Lord, O deliverer from the hellish conditions of life. I've fallen into this hell, but I shall try to remember your holy name always. And in this way, I shall try to keep my body and soul together. This is another instance of ecstatic love for Krishna in an abominable situation. It is to be understood that any person who is constantly engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, has attained a transcendental affection for Krishna, and as such, in any condition of life, he remains satisfied. Simply by remembering the Lord's name in full affection and ecstatic love. In conclusion, it may be stated that ecstatic love for Krishna and ghastliness appears during the development of dormant neutrality into developed affections. In other words, it's just like a neophyte type of experience when one is just entering devotional service and, you know, God is great and get me out of this material world, God, it's horrible. But a pure devotee, he just sees Vishwam Purna Shukayate. He sees happiness everywhere because he sees the purpose of everything, even the purpose of suffering, the purpose of distress. Okay, and now we're going on to the next section. Ecstatico. This is called the mixing of rasas. So it was already described there are 12 different kinds of rasas. Remember, 5 and 7. For those of you who don't know mathematics, 5 and 7 equal 12. Or ecstatic relationships which are shared with Krishna. 5 of these rasas are direct. We talked about this many times before, and they are listed as neutrality, shantaras, servitude, dasharas, fraternity, sakyaras, parental love, avatsalya, prema, and conjugal love, madhurya ras. 7 of the rasas are indirect, and that's the section we just read. And they're listed as humor, that means joke, astonishment, abhuta, chivalry, compassion, anger, dread, and ghastliness. The 5 direct rasas are eternally manifest in the Vaikuntha world, the spiritual kingdom, whereas the 7 indirect rasas are eternally manifesting and unmanifesting in Gokula Vrindavan, where Krishna displays his transcendental pastimes in the material world. Manifesting and unmanifesting means they flavor the direct rasas. Okay, you got it. That's what it means. It's like the spices are sometimes used when you're cooking broccoli, and sometimes they're not used, or different spices are used on different days for your cooking. That's all. In other words, the 5 rasas are like the original vegetables, and the 7 indirect rasas are like the spices you use on the vegetables, different combinations. But sometimes there is a very bad combination of spices. Blah. Just like, okay, let's say we are making sweet rice for the deities. I'll give you an example. Sweet rice has a little sweetener, a lot of sweetener if you really want to get diabetes. So it has a little sweetener in it, it's condensed milk. Okay, very nice. But let's say I take some hot peppers and throw it in there. Is that a compatible mixture? I do not think so. But sometimes you can put a little bit of black pepper in, and it's compatible. But too much, it's not compatible. So it's a whole science of spicing. And here we're talking about spicing the relationships. So what to add, what not to add, and when it's just like improper combination. Very often, in addition to one's regular ras, there is found the presence of some other ras. And the mixture of these loving humors, here in this case, humor doesn't mean joke. It means just ras, taste, is sometimes compatible or palatable and sometimes incompatible or unpalatable. The following is a scientific analysis of the compatibility and incompatibility of the mixtures of these various rasas or loving moods. So you don't have to remember about, you don't have to remember these things, but just enjoy the discussion. When the ras of neutral love, that shantaras, when in the ras of neutral love, shantaras, there are found traces of ghastliness, remember, that's compatible, or astonishment, the result is compatible. But with this neutral love, there are manifestations of conjugal love. It just doesn't work. Chivalry, anger, or dread, the result is incompatible. In other words, how is conjugal love, you know, love between the gopis and Krishna, compatible with disgustingness? It just ain't. It's all common sense. When in the ecstasy of a serving humor, there are manifestations of dread, neutrality, love, or chivalry, such as Dharmavira and Dhanavira, the result is compatible. In other words, serving humor means dasha ras, the second ras. So when you're serving, there could be fear, there can be just neutral love, appreciation, and chivalry, because you're giving charity, like what just, or Dhanavira means charity, and Dharmavira means heroic in following rules and regulations. The result is compatible. The ecstasy of devotional service in chivalry and anger are directly produced by Krishna himself. With the ecstasy of fraternal love, friendship, a mixture of conjugal love, laughter, or chivalry is highly compatible. So in other words, many people within friendship relationship are actually assisting in conjugal love. And sometimes the gopis may be friends of Krishna, like Dhanishta, who's the cousin of Krishna. And she's connected with conjugal love, although she doesn't directly do the conjugal love. And there's always laughter and chivalry. With the same fraternal love, a mixture of dread or paternal love is most incompatible. But sometimes it is compatible. I mean, it's really, that's why the word mostly, it means mostly incompatible, because sometimes you have Balaram, we described before. Balaram also has a paternal mood towards Krishna. So even though it says it's most incompatible, there's exceptions when sometimes it is compatible. Because remember we read previously that Balaram, he's of course a friend of Krishna, older brother, but friend. He's in the friendship of us. But he actually has a mood of parental affection towards Krishna that manifests. So these things can be adjusted, but it takes a lot of discrimination. Although there are gulfs of difference between them, with the ecstasy of parental affection, a mixture of laughter, compassion, or dread is compatible. So obviously, because a parent is compassionate towards the child, laughs when she sees the child doing something, or is fearful for the child's safety. With the ecstasy of parental love, obviously a mixture of conjugal love, chivalry has nothing to do with parental love, and anger is incompatible. However, there are exceptions. Like, you have Yashodamayi getting angry at Krishna. So, you see, these are general rules, but exception makes the rule. It's quite interesting. With the ecstasy of devotion and conjugal love, a mixture of laughter or fraternity is compatible, obviously. Gopis joking with Krishna and they're friends with Krishna. According to certain expert opinions, in the ecstasy of conjugal love, the feelings of chivalry, known as Yudhavira and Dharmavira, are the only compatible additions. So this is some authorities. Even Rupa Goswami is presenting different views. According to this view, except for these two humors, all other manifestations are taken as incompatible with conjugal love. And you look at the previous paragraph, it says laughter and fraternity is compatible. So you see, these are, he's presenting different opinions of different scholars. And these are rules, but the rules are made to be broken. With the ecstasy of devotional laughter, a mixture of dread, conjugal love or parental love is compatible, which we discussed before. Whereas a mixture of compassion or ghastliness is incompatible. That's the fact with laughter, usually. With the ecstasy of devotion and astonishment, a mixture of chivalry or neutral love is compatible. That's obvious. Chivalry, neutral love. Whereas a mixture of anger or dread is always incompatible. With the ecstasy of devotional chivalry, a mixture of astonishment, laughter, or servitude is compatible, whereas a mixture of dread, when a chivalrous, is not going to be an anxiety or fearful, or conjugal love is incompatible. The chivalry means like heroic. According to some expert opinions, the ecstasy of neutral love is always compatible with devotional service and chivalry. With the ecstasy of compassion in devotional service, a mixture of anger or parental love is compatible with protection, whereas a mixture of laughter, conjugal love, or astonishment is always incompatible. And I said these are rules that sometimes can be broken. With the ecstasy of anger in devotional service, a mixture of compassion or chivalry is compatible. Whereas a mixture of laughter with anger obviously doesn't mix. Conjugal union or dread is completely incompatible, although there's exceptions. Like you have Radharani getting angry with Krishna. And sometimes she's fearful that there's a story in the Vidagda Madhava, that she's fearful that she's fallen in love with three different people. The boy who plays the flute, the person whose name is Krishna, and that blackish boy, which she doesn't realize that the whole are the same persons. With the ecstasy of dread and devotional service, a mixture of ghastliness or compassion is compatible. Dread means fear. Yeah, but obviously ghastliness is compatible with compassion. Ooh, with the ecstasy of chivalry and devotional service, a mixture of conjugal union, laughter, or anger is always incompatible. And there may be an exception to that. Yeah, anger, obviously, laughter, yes, conjugal, yes, it is incompatible. In the ecstasy of ghastliness in devotional service, feelings of neutral love, laughter, or servitude are compatible, whereas feelings of conjugal love and fraternity are incompatible, obviously. The above analysis is a sample of the study of rasavas, or incompatible mixing of rasas. This transcendental science of rasavas can be thoroughly explained by humors and ecstatic love, which are compatible and incompatible with one another. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing in Jagannath Puri, many poets and devotees used to come to him and offer their different kinds of poetry, but the regulation was that Lord Chaitanya's secretary, Swarup Damodar, first examined all these writings scrutinizingly, and if he would find that there were no incompatibilities in the rasas or transcendental mellows, he would then allow the poet to approach Lord Chaitanya and recite his poetry. The topic of incompatibility is a very important one, and those who are pure devotees always expect to find perfect compatibility in descriptions of different relationships with the personality of Godhead. The study of compatibility and incompatibility sometimes becomes very involved. A hint of why this is so is given as follows. When a friend meets another friend, the mellow produced out of that meeting is generally taken as very palatable. But actually, with such meetings between two friends, there are so many feelings involved that it is difficult to ascertain when these feelings are actually becoming compatible and when they are becoming incompatible. Very difficult. Expert. Literary scholars have analyzed the rasas which are compatible with one another by contrasting the various rasas in a particular mixture under the names whole and part. According to this method, the prominent feeling is called the whole and the subordinate feeling is called the part. The following statement elucidates the subject of part and whole. All living entities are just like sparks from the supreme fire. And as such, I do not know if I, a tiny spark, shall be able to engage myself in the transcendental loving service of the supreme fire, Lord Krishna. In this statement, the feelings of neutral love are taken as the whole, they are the most prominent, whereas the desire to serve the Lord is taken as the part. Actually, in the Brahman effulgence, there's no chance of reciprocation of loving ecstasy between the Lord and the devotee. There's another quotation from a devotee who laments as follows. Alas, I am still trying to relish different pleasurable states from this body, which is simply some skin covering mucus, semen, and blood. Remember, that's ghastliness. In this state of consciousness, I am so condemned that I cannot relish the transcendental ecstasy of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this statement, there are two ecstatic loving humors, namely neutrality and ghastliness. Neutrality is taken here as the whole, whereas the ecstasy of ghastliness is the part. So, transcendental ecstasy of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the neutral aspect, and the first aspect mentioned here, the skin, mucus, blood, and all that other nice stuff, is the ghastliness. There's a similar statement by a devotee as follows. Now, we don't expect any of these our devotees to become expert in this analysis of the rust. This is just something that, like, great acharyas would do, especially when they were supervising or they were reading stuff that was offered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to make sure that there was nothing in there that was distasteful. And it's described that there's a distasteful mixing of the rasas. It's like sand in the sweet rice or like red pepper in the sweet rice, which I mentioned before. There is a similar statement by a devotee as follows. I shall now begin my service of fanning the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who is seated on a golden throne. He is the Supreme Parambrahman in his eternal form of a cloudy black, blackish complexion. Now I shall give up my affection for my material body, which is nothing but a bunch of flesh and blood. Herein there is a combination of servitude and ghastliness, whereas the ecstasy of servitude is taken more as the whole, that's what's more important, and the ecstasy of ghastliness is taken as the part. Remember, that's pretty easy to understand. There's another statement as follows. When shall I be free from the mode of ignorance and being thus purified? When shall I attain the stage of serving Krishna eternally? Only then shall I be able to worship him, always observing his lotus eyes and beautiful face. In this statement, the whole is the ecstasy of neutrality, and the part is servitorship. There's another statement as follows. Please look at this devotee of the Lord who is dancing, just remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, of Krishna, sorry. Simply by observing his dance, you will lose all interest in even the most beautiful women. In this statement, the whole is neutrality and the part is in ghastliness. One devotee boldly said, my dear Lord, I now am turning my face from any thought of association with young girls. As far as Brahman realization is concerned, I have lost all interest because I am completely absorbed in thinking about you. And being absorbed so blissfully, I've lost all other desires, even the desire for mystic powers. Now my mind is attracted only to worshiping your lotus feet. In this statement, the whole is the ecstasy of neutrality. It's easy to understand. And the part is chivalry. Let's see if there's anything else there, too. Yeah, chivalry. It's a heroic statement. There's no gas labels there. Another statement, Subala is addressed thus. My dear Subala, the damsels of Vrindavan who had the opportunity of enjoying Krishna's kissing must be the foremost of all the fortunate women in the world. In this example, the ecstasy of fraternal devotional service is the whole, and the ecstasy of conjugal love is the part. In other words, the friends of Krishna are appreciating conjugal love. The following statement was made by Krishna to the gopis. My dear enchanted, don't gaze at me with longing eyes like this. Be satisfied and return to your homes in Vrindavan. There's no necessity of your presence here. While Krishna was joking in this way with the damsels of Braja, who with great hope had come to enjoy the rasa dance with him, Subala was also on the scene and he began to look at Krishna with wide and laughing eyes. Subala's feeling contained a mixture of fraternity and laughter and devotional service. Fraternity is considered here to be the whole, and the laughter is considered the part. The following example contains a mixture of ecstatic fraternity and laughter, taken respectively as the whole and part. When Krishna saw that Subala in the dress of Radharani was silently hiding under the shade of a beautiful Ashok tree on the bank in Yamuna, he immediately arose from his seat in surprise. Upon seeing Krishna, Subala tried to hide his laughter by covering his cheeks. There's also an example of the mixture of parental love and compassion and devotional service. When Mother Yashoda was thinking that her son was walking in the forest without any umbrella or shoes, she became greatly perturbed to think of how much difficulty Krishna must have been feeling. In this example, the whole is the parental love and the part is compassion. That's pretty easy to understand. Most of these are pretty easy to understand. There's the following example of a mixture of parental love and laughter. A friend of Mother Yashoda told her, my dear Yashoda, your son has very cunningly stolen a lump of butter from my home, and to make me blame my own son for his mischief, he has smeared some of the butter on my son's face while he was sleeping. Upon hearing this, Mother Yashoda shook her curved eyebrows. She could only look at her friend with a smiling face. May Mother Yashoda bless everyone with a smiling attitude. In this example, the whole is the parental love and the part is the laughter. There's an example of a mixture of several humors with devotional service as follows. When Krishna was holding up Govardhan Hill with his left hand, his hair became scattered all over his shoulders and he appeared to be perspiring. When Mother Yashoda saw this scene, she began to tremble. Then, as she stared at the scene with broadened eyes, she saw Krishna begin to exhibit varieties of facial caricatures. Mother Yashoda then became very happy and began to smile. Then again, when she thought that Krishna was holding up the hill for such an extremely long time, her clothes became soaked with perspiration. May Mother Yashoda Vajeshwari protect the whole universe by her infinite mercy. In this example, the whole is parental love and the parts are dread, wonder, laughter, compassion, etc. There's an example of a mixture of conjugal love and fraternal affection when Srimati Radharani said, "My dear friends, just see how Krishna is resting his hand on the shoulder of Subala, who is dressed up just like a young girl. I think he must be sending some message to me through Subala. The purport is that the superiors of Radharani do not like Krishna or his coward friends to associate with her. Therefore, these friends sometimes clothe themselves in female dress so they can give Radharani a message from Krishna. In this example, the whole is conjugal love and the part is fraternity." The following is an example of a mixture of conjugal love and laughter in devotional service. Krishna, in the dress of a young girl, told Radharani, "Oh, you hard-hearted girl, don't you know that I'm your sister? Why are you unable to recognize me? Be merciful upon me and please capture my shoulders and embrace me with love." While Krishna was dressed up exactly like Radharani, he was speaking these nice words and Srimati Radharani could understand his purpose. But because she was in front of her many superiors, she simply smiled and did not say anything. In this instance, the ecstasy of conjugal love is taken as the whole, and the ecstasy of laughter is taken as the part. The following illustrates a mixture of several feelings. When one of the concert friends of Chandrabali saw that Krishna was preparing to fight with the Vishal Sura demon, she began to think how wonderful Krishna is. His mind is captivated by the eyebrows of Chandrabali in a smiling spirit. His snake-like arms are on the shoulder of his friend, and at the same time, he is roaring like a lion to encourage Vrishasura to fight with him. This is an example of conjugal love, fraternity, and chivalry. The conjugal love is taken here as the whole, and the fraternity and chivalry are taken as the parts. When Kubja caught hold of Krishna's yellow garment because she was feeling almost lusty with sex urge, Krishna simply bowed down his head, with his cheeks glowing in front of the many people who are standing there and laughing. This is an example of a mixture of ecstatic conjugal love and laughter. The laughter is taken as the whole and the conjugal love is taken as the part. Vishal, a coward boy who was attempting to fight with Bhadrasena, was addressed by another coward boy as follows. "Why are you attempting to show your chivalrous spirit before me? Before this, you even attempted to fight with Sridham, but you must know that Sridham does not even care to fight with hundreds of Balarams. So why are you acting so enthusiastically when you actually have no importance at all?" This is an example of a mixture of devotional fraternity and chivalry. The chivalry is taken as the whole and the fraternity is taken as the part. Shishupal was habituated to calling Krishna ill names. And by his insults, he irritated the sons of Pandu more than he irritated Krishna. The Pandavas therefore equipped themselves with all kinds of weapons to kill Shishupal. Their feelings were a mixture of ecstatic love and fraternity, the anger being taken as the whole and fraternity as the part. So I just want to see how much more we have in this particular chapter. See if we can finish the chapter today or we will continue tomorrow. Let's see. Just give me a second. No, we can't finish this chapter today because it's too late. Okay, so we're going to end here, and we're going to take some questions. We're in the middle of the chapter. So we have 10 more pages left after this. Maybe we finish tomorrow. We will have to see. There's a part of this. Mark it right here. We're going to... Okay, so we are going to take questions. Give me 1 second. And you are now officially allowed to unmute yourselves. So who wants to ask a question? Question? No one wants to ask a question. I don't see anybody asking questions.
I have a question about your backdrop.
Yeah.
So does the spiritual master actually experience taking on the sins of the disciples, like burning in hell?
No, not really. Not really. It doesn't have to burn in hell. This is just like a figurative expression to make you all feel guilty so that you behave yourselves. It's called a guilt trip, a spiritual guilt trip.
Someone sent you a picture to basically accentuate and confirm the guilt trip. Oh, for some reason I can't hear you all of a sudden. Oh, we can hear you now.
Yeah, you should be able to hear me now.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I just had to reset something. No, it's not that the spiritual master has to go to hell. Oh my God. But Prabhupada said the spiritual master may get a little sick or have some bad dreams taking the karma or whatever it is, disciples. But I'm just being, you know, I'm just exaggerating a little bit.
If you check your messenger chat, you'll see a picture that'll confirm your guilt trip.
I know. I see it, but I can't open it up right now
because it's okay.
It's a PNG.
Okay. So, yeah, I think you'll have fun with it when you do see it.
A little later at it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody has interesting backdrops, they can send it to me at other times, email them to me, and then I'll use them during different meetings. It just keeps life very interesting. It gives me something to talk about, especially during GBC meetings, because then people look at it and they think, what's happening? What's your backdrop?
Well, apparently it's in the chat, the Zoom chat.
I know, I see it.
Oh, but you can't open it. Okay.
I can't open it in the Zoom chat.
Okay.
I downloaded it, so I'll look at it later. So who else has a question or a comment?
Gurudev, could I ask a question?
Yeah, Shamasaki, that's good. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. So my question is in relation to the different, almost like stages of surrender in our spiritual life. If you can maybe because yes, I understand that like we follow actually the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, and this is a way for us to show to Krishna that we're serious about his mercy. And I'm just wondering, sometimes I find myself in a situation where I feel like Krishna wants me to surrender my fear of just like a fear of pain or fear of being hurt or fear of some kind of catastrophe happening to me, because I feel like it's almost like that's what's holding me sometimes back. So I'm just wondering if any of this makes sense when I'm asking, you know, is there a way for us to, you know, not be so, or for myself, not to be so afraid of that complete trust and surrender to Krishna?
It's an interesting question. Actually, this word surrender, it's a very interesting word, because you have this word sharanagati, which actually doesn't mean surrender. But we're taking that indirectly as surrender, and the word surrender has a lot of negative connotations to it. Like I remember when I was young, you know, sometimes little boys would twist the arm behind the back and they'd say uncle. I don't know if you ever had that in your country, but that's a typical thing, you know, surrender. But I have to look up the exact etymology of Sharanagati, but it definitely doesn't mean surrender in the way that we think of it. It means basically to go, to give oneself, like the word Shraddha. Means to actually means basically to give your heart. You know, we often take it as faith, you know, somehow or other, faith, but Shraddha, you know, like it means to give one's heart. Shrat means heart, and Da means to give, so it means to give one's heart to Krishna. And that's, to me, that's a lot sweeter than the word faith. So let's get away from the word surrender, which I don't like. Not because I don't want to surrender to Krishna, but I just want to, be in tune with Krishna. I like that better, that expression better. In tune with Krishna's desires, thinking of pleasing Krishna out of love. The surrender, and just the word surrender in English implicitly means that there's some threat. And therefore it's a negative connotation word, at least to a native English speaker, surrender to Krishna, or else you're going to take a birth again. This is like when I first walked into the Hare Krishna temple. They said, you better surrender or else you're going to be in Kali Yuga, and you're going to be short, you're going to be living in a cave and eating human flesh, and so therefore you better surrender. And that, therefore, it took me 2 more years to join the Hare Krishna movement when I heard that one. So anyway, let's get away from surrender. So how do you relinquish fear in particular circumstances? That's interesting. And let me think of for a second about that question. So the way I would do that, I'm just telling you the way I would do it, not the way necessarily the way you should do it, is I would actually think of Prabhupada. Because what inspires me in developing the qualities of giving myself to Krishna are the examples that were set by Prabhupada and other great devotees. So I think of Prabhupada crossing the ocean at roughly the same age. Actually, he was a little younger than me. That's even interesting for me to think about. Prabhupada was younger than me when he crossed the ocean to go to America. So I just think of a hero. And I guess that's why Prabhupada gave me the name Vira Krishna, which means hero Krishna. I just think of some heroic activity, my role model, who is Prabhupada, has executed, and that inspires me. I mean, it's like, well, even when I was a kid, of course, I had stupid role models when I was a kid. One of my role models was Superman. And in order to emulate him, I would do stupid things. I was a stupid man, but I would do stupid things. I would sometimes find a chair and jump off of the chair thinking I was gonna fly in the air. I mean, that's pretty stupid. But so in other words, the principle of being inspired. Actually, this is actually even a better way to come to Krishna than to simply think of surrender, is inspiration. And inspiration comes from someone you're inspired by. And that's someone who you're inspired by. If you're inspired by that person's qualities rub off on you. That's interesting. They rub off on you because when you're thinking of a pure devotee like Prabhupada, it's like association with Prabhupada. Not just like, it is association with Prabhupada. And those qualities that Prabhupada have become implanted within your own heart. And then you just feel a role. I know that it works with me. I mean, I'm not saying that's your method or whatever. I'm just telling you my method. As I think of Prabhupada, you know, when I get a little scared of going to the temple in the morning. No. I don't know what I get scared of. There's certain devotees I'm scared of talking with because they, anyway, I'm not going to mention their names because they talk too much. Anyway, so now I'm just being facetious. That's just a joke. But I remember when I was young, I went to countries that I had never been to before, and I didn't even speak the language, you know, in South America at that time. And I would just remember Prabhupada, how Prabhupada came to America on a boat and everything like that. And it instilled me with courage. It's like the Wizard of Oz, the lion, he didn't have courage. I was like the lion without courage. It's anyway, whatever. You have to, I'm always in the humorous rush, so you have to excuse me for that. That keeps me alive. I mean, my favorite quality of Krishna is Dhira Lalita, where he's always very humorous and playing. I hope that answers your question. That I think of my role models, especially Prabhupada. I would say Prabhupada is my primary role model. Because Arjuna, I mean, all these other personalities, I guess, are all role models, but I can't relate to them as much as I can relate to Prabhupada. Because he's in the modern day and age. As I've often said before, Prabhupada is Bhagavad Gita in action in the modern age. Where these other personalities are Bhagavad Gita in action in previous ages. And it's just, I mean, I got other role models like Hanuman, but you know, I really can't do too many things that Hanuman did right now. Maybe past life. But Prabhupada is it's so inspiring that I basically forget about fear when I think about Prabhupada. I mean, look at a devotee like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who went to the previous Soviet Union, being followed by the KGB almost constantly. And he must have just been thinking of Prabhupada and pleasing Prabhupada. So in other words, it's a question of you'd be inspired by a role model and loving the role model, so you want to please the role model. Like when one is absorbed in the loving mood of serving, even in this world, one can do amazing things. There's a story I heard one time that Once upon a time, there was a child who was trapped under a car wheel. And the mother was able to pick up the car and save her child. Because there was love there. I think where there is intense love, that really overcomes all other impediments or feelings. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you, Gurudev. I think that that really answers the question so nicely, because I think so often, if we don't have that inspiration, we tend to think that we are in this alone. But actually, yeah, your answer, it kind of, my understanding also expands that we're not actually ever alone. And as soon as we tap into remembering Srila Prabhupada or spiritual masters, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, previous acharyas, great personalities, we're actually, it's almost like we can summon their courage through that, like, remembrance.
We're associating with them, right? Go ahead. Yeah, sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's, I'm extremely grateful to, yeah, thank you. I feel like hopeful to like go more on that path of associating through really seeking out inspiration in these personalities that we are actually, we talk about, we read about, we're supposed to follow.
Yeah, and inspiration helps us achieve the six goals of Sharanagati, which are accepting everything favorable, rejecting everything unfavorable. Because you're doing it from inspiration, not because you want to surrender. I mean, I hate this word, surrender. Because it's not that, I'm not thinking I want to surrender to Krishna. I mean, it's just like, to me, it doesn't really inspire me. You know, I'm thinking I want to please Krishna, Radharani, and Srila Prabhupada, and I want to be like Prabhupada. I mean, I'm talking about imitating Prabhupada, but, you know, like Prabhupada. I'm inspired. So I don't think about surrender. Accepting everything in favor, rejecting. I'm always understanding the Lord is protecting one and maintaining one, which Prabhupada actually manifested to the highest degree in. Meek and humble, and no separate interests other than the interests of the Lord. I think it's just all by inspiration, not by perspiration.
Thank you, Gurudev. That was really nice. Thank you.
Inspiration, not perspiration. So many devotees, they stress the perspiration, but I'm not going to perspire anymore. So anyway. All right, so who else has a question? It's time for one more question, actually, running late.
Gurudev, can it help us to analyze these rasas, or is it more of an indulgence?
It helps you engage your mind and fix your mind in Krishna's pastimes, I think it depends on whether that's your propensity. Because we always have to keep our minds absorbed in Krishna's service, and we all have different types of minds. I've been thinking about that recently. I was thinking, you know, how to absorb my mind in Krishna's service, because to be frank, that's funny. So to be frank, you know, my mind is very much attracted to modern science. Oh my God. I'm in Maya. So my mind is very much attracted to science and biology and things like that. So it really absorbs my mind. I'm actually, when I was doing my research on evolution and arguments against evolution, I was completely ecstatic. I mean, I was just like rolling on the ground in ecstasy, you know. Almost. Why? Using it in Krishna's service. So, in other words, I came to the conclusion we all have different types of minds. And some of our minds can be absorbed in certain things, and sometimes we have a mind. Let's say if someone is not a Brahmin, let's say a Shudra, and their mind is absorbed in, let's say, building things for Krishna. So the whole point is Savai Manakha Krishna Padara Vindiyo. Use the mind that Krishna has given you to be absorbed in Krishna's service. So if you're able to do that, just like analyzing the different rasas and when they are conflicting, when they're not conflicting, and you could want to spend a lot of time doing that, and that really helps you fix your mind. Of course, don't do it 24 hours a day. You know, we need someone to cook for the deities and stuff like that. I need someone to fix the internet when it breaks down. But if that's really, I mean, if you're that side of, sort of intellectual, do it. Because it's actually engagement in Krishna service. And if by studying science, I can prove that God exists, that the universe is planned, that the there is intelligent design, and I can prove it to the devotees, then I should do it. You know, it's just like, it's just, we are attracted, our minds are attracted to different things. And that is an absolute fact. Everybody's different. And so, you know, people like different things. And but all these things, all these objects of the minds, focus can actually be engaged in Krishna's service. That's all. I mean, some people are really attracted to management. I'm not, even though I have to do it sometimes. That's why I put all these funny backgrounds on me during the GBC meetings, because I mean, otherwise I'll go crazy if I just sit there and it's just so serious all the time. It's just like, oh my God. I'm thinking, this is cruel and unusual punishment, which is actually against the Constitution of the United States. Cruel and unusual punishment. So, you know, just like, whatever. So I have to just, I have to do things or else, you know, just go crazy. We're not meant to be crazy. We're meant to engage our minds in such a way in Krishna service that we're happy and focused in Krishna's service. You can't fit a square peg in a round hole or vice versa. So, and that happy note, we'll study the rasas, conflicting rasas. I hope the rasa of humor is compatible with every other rasa in the spiritual world. That's my prayer. Otherwise, I'm not going there. No, actually, I'm just joking. Okay, on that happy note, we'll see everybody tomorrow night. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.